Janana Ranjana
Janana Brajajana Ranjana
Yasod Nandana Brajajana Ranjana
Nandana Brajajana Ranjana
Ramona Tera Vana Chalde
Ramona Tera Vana Chalde
Ramona Ravana Chaude
Ravana Chaude
Jaya Rana Madhuva Kunya Vihavude
Jaya
Rana Madhuva Kunya Vihavude Prajajana Ranjanta Yasoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Ramuna Te Ravana Chari Ramuna Te Ravana Chande
Ramuna Te Ravana Chande
Jaya Rana Madhuva Kunya Vihavude
Jaya Rana Madhuva
Jaya Rana Madhuva Kunya Vihavude
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatacharya Ol Sutera Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace of Ayachananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharshila Prabhupad Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupad Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnav Rindi Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Puran Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopata Sayam Kundada Kundai Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Kijai Tiridam Kijai Navadipdam Kijai Jagadadasami Kijai Yuvanamai Kijai Shimari Lassi Dev Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaura Priyananda Hari Hari Gopi All gloriously assembled devotees, all gloriously assembled devotees, all gloriously assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru Ranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maganati Mirandasya Gananjana Shlakya Chachur Miritam Yenetas Maishi Gurvena Maha Tapta Kanchana Gorandi Rabbi Vanda Vanishri Vishivanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. So we're very fortunate to be here in the place of Srimati Radharani's appearance. And sometimes it's described that Srimati Radharani appeared in Varshan and sometimes in Ravel. So we can understand that in different ages, just like when Krishna appears in the earth planet once in a day of what?
Brahma.
The children should end. I'm asking the question for the children. Yeah, everyone has to be under 15 to answer these questions. So, so once in a day of what?
Okay.
All right, the little child. So, Kate, once in a day of what?
Once in Brahma's day.
And Brahma's day is what? How many? Of course, you would know that. Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam, 1,000 Divya Yugas. It's a lot of time, isn't it? And his night is the same time. So once in a day when Krishna appears, Srimati Radharani appears, and sometimes she appears in Ravel and sometimes in Varshana. So that's why you have that disparity between the two places. But in the last time Krishna appeared, Radharani appeared here in Ravel. So the way she appeared is very interesting. We have Rishabhanu and Kirtida, who had performed millions of years of austerities. And Rishabhanu was looking at the Yamuna River, and there was a golden lotus floating in the Yamuna River, and there was a little girl there. And guess what? He went to get the little girl, but while he was going to get the little girl, Lord Brahma appeared and revealed to him it was Srimati Radharani. So Lord Brahma appeared to him. And so then he took this little girl home. And then a few days later, who remembers who Radharani's brother's name is? The children. Starts with an S. R. I. D. A. They can't spell it. Sridham. So Sridham was the brother of Radharani. So what happened is when Narada Muni came, he was looking for Radharani because he understood Krishna appeared. Okay, that's okay. And then he wanted to find Radharani. He knew where Krishna was. So he kept asking all the villagers here, who has given birth to a girl recently, or who has a little girl child? And then he finally came to Vrishabhanu's house, and he asked, do you have a son named Sridham? And Vrishabhanu said, yes. And do you have a daughter named Radharani? And Vrishabhanu said, yes. And Narada Muni said, can I see her? I've been looking all over for her. And I want to do her horoscope. And what happened is that Vrishabhanu said, yes, but she's been born blind. So please come and bless her. And so Narada Muni came, and he saw this little girl, picked her up, and then all of a sudden, she manifested her full youthful feature. You understand? Like 16, 14, 16 years of age. And all the other gopis, Lalita, Vishaka, Tungavidya, Sudevi, and all the other devotees appeared at the same, the other gopis appeared, the Astasakis appeared at the same time. So Narada Muni had a vision of the Astasakis, not only a vision, it was real, of the Astasakis and Srimati Radharani simultaneously, and Srimati Radharani said, keep this quiet. Don't tell anyone. Now, don't ask me how I know. Narada Muni told me. So anyway, you see that, you find this in many stories, even of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he reveals his form and he says, don't tell this or you'll be destroyed. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, you'll find some stories like that. So obviously they told later, after Krishna's pastimes ended. So Narada Muni was astounded, he fainted, and then what happened as Narada Muni said, that we should hold the name-giving ceremony for Srimati Radharani, invite everybody. And Vrishabhanu said, but she's blind. Of course, the reason she was blind, I'll tell you the reason she was blind. When Krishna said... No, no, I'm fine. I'm not cold. So, the reason she was blind was that when Krishna said to her, we have to go to the material world, she said, I got to see those rascals. I don't want to see anyone, because she, Radharani only has eyes for Krishna. Like you hear sometimes these love songs. I think Sita sung some of those love songs. I only have eyes for you. Right? Oh, my eyes are for you. So Srimati Radharani only wants to see Krishna. And her friends, of course, too. But she certainly doesn't want to see any, like, rascals running around. So what happened is that Krishna said, okay, I'll give you the benediction that when you come to this earth planet, you won't see anyone until you see me. And I'll be the first person you see. So that's why she was born blind. So Narada Muni advised you should hold the name-giving ceremony, birth ceremony. And so they invited everybody, including Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and...
Krishna.
Little baby Krishna. Krishna was older.
Good.
And so, so while they were holding the ceremony and doing their swaha business, then Srimati Radharani was sitting there on the lap of Vrishabhanu and Kirtida, and Krishna crawled over. Like this. Not exactly, but he crawled. He crawled over and she smelled the fragrance of Hari. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story about that. But she smelled Krishna's fragrance and then she opened her eyes and she saw Krishna. It's a real love story, isn't it? I only have eyes for you. And there's an interesting story. One time, this has nothing to do with Radharani's appearance, but it's also a Braj story. Told by Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, that once upon a time, Krishna and Radharani were enjoying in the forest, Kunja Vihari, and who comes along but our friend Jatila and Kutila. You know that? Jatila is the mother-in-law, the original mother-in-law story. The mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani, so-called mother-in-law, and Kutila is the so-called sister-in-law. So they come along, and Krishna just like knows they're coming because they have the gopis like watching out for them. And so they're coming. So what happens is Krishna runs into the bushes and he hides like that from everybody, and then. They say, where's that rascal Krishna? We know he's here. And they said, we could smell Hari. Smell Krishna. So the word Hari can also mean something else. You know what else it means? It means like a lion in Sanskrit. And then the gopis said, what do you mean? There's a lion here? Let's run away. Oh no. So you find this a lot in the works of Rupa Goswami, especially Vedanta Madhava and Lalita Madhava. There's these double entendres. That means the word can mean two different things. And Krishna says something to Radharani, and like in the Nectar Devotion, for example, you'll find Radharani asks Krishna where you spent the night, and mene mushati, or something like that. And then Krishna says, what? You mean night has been stolen, or something like that? Or night has stolen me? And then she says to Krishna, where is your vas? Where is your dress? And then Krishna says something like, my dress is your eyes, or something like that. I forget the exact quote. But it's interesting how the words are understood differently in different contexts. So Hari also means lion. So the gopis were actually playing with Jatila and Kutila saying, where's the lion? And they denied that Krishna was there. So now, so that's the appearance of Srimati Radharani. Of course, originally, Srimati Radharani appeared here, and Krishna appeared in Gokul. Then after that, they went to Vrindavan. you know, the, where the city is. And after that, they went to Nandagram and Barshana. So they kept moving. Does anyone know why they kept moving?
Demons.
What? You got the demons. Answer. The demons. They were thinking, this is very inauspicious. There's so many demons here. But every time they kept moving, there were more demons. The demons move with them. It's not really the demons move, but Kamsa sent the demons after Krishna, tried to kill Krishna. So even when Krishna was in Nandagram, there were demons coming. Even one of the last demons was who? Does anyone know? His name starts with an A.
Akasar.
A-R. Arishtasura. See? He knows how to spell. Arishtasura. He was one of the very last demons to attack Krishna. And he got the benediction of being the cause of the of Radhakund being dug. So he got a lot of pious activities from that. Anyway, so what I'd like to do now is read from some of the Acharya's commentaries or words about Srimati Radharani, and actually a lot of this is from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's interesting, Prabhupada writes almost more about Srimati Radharani and the details of her bhav in the Chaitanya Charitamrita than anywhere else. Even more than the Krishna book. Okay? So, well, first we'll read from Raghunath Das Goswami's Braja Vilastava. In the city of Mukheravali, the precious jewel of known as Srimati Radharani took birth in the mine of Kirtana's womb, which is glorified by jubilant demigods, sages, and human beings. I pray that when I enter King Vrishabhanu's capital city of Mukheravalipura, populated with many gopas, gopis, and surabhi cows, I may become drowned in a great flood of transcendental bliss and love. So here's something from, see, the next quote is from Prabhupada. Sri Krishna is the potent factor, and Srimati Radharani is the internal potency. According to the Vedanta philosophy, there is no difference between the potent and potency. They are identical. We cannot differentiate between one and the other any more than we can separate fire from heat. Everything in the absolute is inconceivable in relative existence. Therefore, in relative cognizance, that means to see, it is very difficult to assimilate this truth of oneness between the potent and the potency. The philosophy of an inconceivable oneness and difference propounded by Lord Chaitanya is the only source of understanding for such intricacies of transcendence. In fact, Radharani is the internal potency of Sri Krishna, and she eternally intensifies the pleasure of Sri Krishna. Impersonalists cannot understand this without the help of the Mahabhagavat devotee. The very name Radha suggests that she is eternally the topmost mistress for the comforts of Sri Krishna. Devotees in Vrindavan therefore seek the mercy of Srimati Radharani in order to be recognized as the loving servitors of Sri Krishna. The absolute personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the omnipotent form of transcendental existence, knowledge, and bliss in full. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 4th chapter, text 56. Actually, and you'll find in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Shukadev Goswami never mentions the name of Radharani. Children, you know why? Why wouldn't he mention the name of Radharani? Because, you know who Shukadev Goswami was? In his previous life, he was Radharani's parrot. There's an interesting story told by Gaura Govinda Maharaj that once upon a time, Lord Shiva was giving Bhagavatam class to Parvati. And as he was giving Bhagavatam class to Parvati, the parrot came, that is Radharani's parrot, and the parrot was listening. But Parvati was doing what many devotees do in Bhagavatam class. What's that? I'm sleeping. So the parrot was imitating her voice so that Lord Shiva would continue. So the parrot, Lord Shiva would say, this is about Krishna, and the parrot would go, isn't that wonderful? And because Lord Shiva didn't look up. And then he was in trance. Not that he was reading, he doesn't have to read. But he was in trance. So eventually Lord Shiva looked up and he saw his wife was resting. Because Bhagavatam is very good for sleep inducing. Because it removes all the inauspicious things from your heart that keep you from sleeping. You know, insomnia and everything like that. So if you ever have trouble sleeping at night, just pick up Bhagavatam. So anyway, so she was sleeping, but the parrot was there, and Lord Shiva got so angry at the parrot, he started chasing the parrot all over the place. It's such an interesting story. At the same time, Srila Vyasadeva was reading Bhagavatam to his wife. But Srila Vyasadeva's wife didn't sleep during Bhagavatam class. But she was in ecstasy, and being in ecstasy, she was going, oh. This is a very interesting story. You ever hear this one before?
No, but I can imagine how it goes on now.
Yeah. She was going, oh, Krishna, Radha. And then the parrot being chased by Lord Shiva went into her mouth, and then she had Shukadeva Goswami as a child.
It's not like you're making this up, but it's probably true.
It's true. I mean, the story was told by Gaur Govinda Maharaj, and he has Shastric references for it. My god brother, Gaur Govinda Maharaj. So anyway, Shuka is parrot. So because Shukadeva Goswami is the parrot of Srimati Radharani, he couldn't say Radharani's name because he would have fainted in ecstasy. And then what would have happened to poor Maharaj Pariksit? Maharaj Pariksit would have just been sitting there waiting to die, and nobody would have been speaking Bhagavatam class to him. You know, Gurudev, I'm going to die in 5 minutes. And Gurudev is in ecstasy, rolling on the ground. So it's not such an effective means of speaking in Bhagavatam class if you're a pure devotee. Don't mention the name of Srimati Radharani. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if I was actually a devotee, I wouldn't be able to live. So you can imagine what ecstasies the pure devotees experience. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is the best devotee of himself. He's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So, Radhe! Radhe! So, Sham, Radhe Sham. Okay, we'll continue. This is interesting. The product of Ladini Shakti. Radharani is the personification of the Ladini Shakti, or the pleasure potency of the Lord, is love of Godhead, which is two divisions, namely pure love of God and adulterated love of Godhead. What do we mean by adulterated love of Godhead? That's the perverted reflection, where we start to love matter instead of Krishna. Only when the Ladini Shakti emanates from Sri Krishna and is bestowed upon the living entity being to attract him, does the living being become a pure lover of God. Jai Shri Radhe! But when the same Ladini Shakti is adulterated by the external energy and emanates from the living being, it does not attract Krishna. On the contrary, the living being becomes attracted by the glamour of the material energy. At that time, instead of becoming mad with love of Godhead, the living being becomes mad after material sense enjoyment. And because of his association with the modes of nature, he is captivated by its interactions of distressful, unhappy feelings. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Here's another quote. The unadulterated action of the Ladini Shakti is displayed in the dealings of the damsels of Braj and Srimati Radharani, who is the topmost participant in that transcendental group. The essence of the Ladini Shakti is love of Godhead. The essence of love of Godhead is bhava, or transcendental sentiment, and the highest pitch of that bhava is called mahabhava. Srimati Radharani is the personification, or the personified embodiment, of these three aspects of transcendental consciousness. Three aspects referring to Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini. That means the existential aspect of the transcendental world, the cognitive or the, let's see, the knowing aspect of the transcendental world out in the pleasurable aspect of the transcendental world. She is therefore the highest principle and love of Godhead and is the supreme lovable object of Sri Krishna. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srimati Radharani is as fully spiritual as Krishna. No one should consider her to be material. She is definitely not like the conditioned souls who have material bodies, gross and subtle, covered by material senses. She is all spiritual, and both her body and mind are the same spiritual embodiment. Because her body is spiritual, her senses are also spiritual. Thus her body, mind, and senses fully shine in love of Krishna. She is the personified Ladini Shakti, and therefore she is the only source of enjoyment for Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna cannot enjoy anything that is internally different from him. Therefore, Radha and Krishna are identical. The Sandini portion of Sri Krishna's internal potency has manifested the all-attractive form of Sri Krishna, and the same internal potency in the Ladini feature has presented Srimati Radharani, who is the attraction for the all-attractive. No one can match Srimati Radharani in the transcendental pastimes of Sri Krishna. Also, Srimati Radharani is called Madan Mohan Mohini, she who controls or attracts even the attractor of Cupid. And here's a quote from the Brahma Samhita. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure, and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, that means the Sakis, who embody extensions of her bodily form and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual rus. So it's interesting, just a little explanation, that's from the Brahma Samhita, that Radharani's associates are basically of two types, the Sakis and the Manjaris. And it's interesting how some people, they make this propaganda that everyone should become a Manjari. I don't know if you've heard this. There's some groups like that. We won't mention the names of the groups. But actually, everyone has their eternal spiritual ras with Krishna. And some people are Manjari. Some people are coward boys. Some people are cows. Some people are trees. Some people are
human beings.
Human beings. That's, yeah, human beings. Are gopis, sakis. And one's perfection is in being who you are, not trying to be someone you're not. And I've seen many times before, of course this is, may not be applicable for anyone here, when people are performing or trying to perform Raganuga Bhakti, everybody knows what Raganuga Bhakti is? That means when you follow in the footsteps or serve an eternal resident of Vrindavan, you pick someone, not right now, don't do it, but when you pick someone like Lalita, Vishaka, Subal, Sridham, Yashodamayi, and you focus on them. So we've seen sometimes, especially in Radha Kund and amongst other Gaudiya groups, the guru will try to force the disciple into a ras, which they're really not in. And then they feel all unusual, like that. You know, it's just very uncomfortable. The guru does not give the disciple their ras. That is something, the guru can corroborate it or verify it, but it's not something that the guru gives you. It is coming from your natural attraction to Krishna. So when one performs Raganuga Bhakti, then they have that natural attraction and the guru verifies it. And it may not be the same ras your guru has. That's another thing. You know, people think you have to have the same ras your guru has, but that's not true. Like we have the story of Shyamananda, who had the conjugal ras, that means the Madhurya ras, with Krishna, serving Srimati Radharani, but his guru was a coward boy. So your ras is actually given by the eternal resident of Vrindavan. The guru gives you the sadhana, the vaidhi bhakti, and the... I mean, so that So, and then the eternal rise into Vrindavan actually gives you your, or lets you understand your ras. Does everyone understand that? Mm-hmm. It's a little esoteric. Because sometimes people say, well, if your guru doesn't have something, he can't give it to you. And therefore, you should accept someone who can give it to you and leave your guru and go to the Pied Piper, you know, I don't know if you know the Pied Piper, give to someone who actually is on a higher platform. But that's not really true, because the guru is the abhideya. The guru performs the function of the abhideya. The guru in this world performs the function of the abhideya. You understand? There's sambandha and abhideya. Sambandha means what the identity of the soul is, what the material world is, who Krishna is, what reincarnation is, even all those things, like knowledge. And then abhideya means practical engagement in devotional service so that you can realize your spiritual identity. But prayojana comes from the eternal resident of Vrindavan who one becomes attracted to. You understand? So that's it's a misunderstanding that one group in particular, the Gaudiya Math, is actually giving people.
Is it already there?
It's already there. It's inherent.
It's inherent.
It's inherent. But there's also a process for waking it up. Just like if one has amnesia, you know, your relationship is, let's say you forget that you're married to Sita. And so somehow you forget. Huh? Who's that? And then... Radhe, Radhe.
So,
of course, and then I have to come to you and remind you of those things, and then the memory will come back. That's how you deal with someone with amnesia. Generally, you don't. I mean, they may spontaneously recover their memory, but sometimes you have to just keep reminding. Show them things they're familiar with, like say, oh. Was I a devotee of Krishna? Here's cartels. They look familiar. Pick them up. Wow. I actually know how to pick them up. And play them. So that's really the process of bhakti, you know, sadhana, because it reminds us of something that was there inherently. In other words, cheto dharpana marjanam, it cleanses the mirror of the mind, so you can remember. But you really need to hear from the Goswamis of Vrindavan, you know, the literatures, like what we call the Leela literatures, to remind you of these things. In other words, to become attracted to a particular person, eternal resident in Vrindavan, you have to hear about that person. So let's say I'm reading about the dogs in Vrindavan, you know, about, you know, whatever, Cocker Spaniel or something like that, German Shepherd, sorry. I'm reading about a German Shepherd in Vrindavan. I said, wow, that's me. Or, you know, I'm attracted to that. I should serve eternally that German Shepherd. So in other words, that's what awakens you. That's why we have the literatures of the Goswamis, like the Vidagdha Madhava, Lita Madhava, and Ujjvala Nilamani, and other books like that, when you're ready. That's really what awakens you. And then you develop that natural attraction. You can confirm it with the guru, but it's not that the guru gives it to you. And it's not that the guru has the same rasa you have. You understand that? It's a common misunderstanding that has been propagated by many people. And, you know, in order, you know, I'm not saying it's because of political reasons, but you know, it's a misunderstanding of how one gets.
Is it not true that sadhaka, during the sadhana, he must have a spiritual master?
Yeah,
his bhava and prema stage, he also had some leadership.
Yeah, well, no, he still has a spiritual master. It's not that he says to his spiritual master, bye bye, you know, I'm a gopi. No. But that would be Mayavad philosophy, he steps on the head of the spiritual master. No, there's always guidance. But the spiritual master doesn't give him his ras. It's not that it comes from the spiritual master, the ras. It comes from the mercy of the spiritual master allows him to contact or experience the leelas of the Lord. I mean, if you really want to get technical, There's three varieties of spiritual bodies as you progress. Let's see if I remember. One is the siddha-deha. That is when you realize who you are in the spiritual world, and you begin to meditate on serving a particular resident of Vrindavan. And the next one, let's see if I remember correctly. Siddha-deha, and then I forget the name of the second one. The second one is when you actually enter into those pastimes mentally. But the third one is called Vastu-siddhi, that happens when you actually take birth where Krishna's pastimes are taking place. Because in other words, the first realization of the spiritual body is you actually realize who you are and you begin to meditate on Krishna's pastimes. Second realization is in your meditation you begin to enter into those pastimes. And the third realization is you take birth where Krishna's pastimes... I mean, that's the full manifestation of the spiritual body. It's a little esoteric.
Is it still the material mind doing this, or...?
No. The material mind gets purified. When the material mind, it's a mixed thing in the beginning. But the material mind begets, like we say, devotional service dissolves the subtle body. So the material mind actually gets dissolved, and one gets a pure... Shudahabhimana kabehama erava shivrindava. One gets a pure spiritual mind.
So that actually only can take place after complete purification of the heart.
Yeah, the complete purification is the Vastu-siddhi. That's the complete. In the beginning, it's not complete.
It's mixed.
It's mixed. But when you actually take birth, that's the first thing. After you become perfect, you take birth amongst Krishna's associates on the earth planet somewhere, on the earth or some other universe where Krishna's pastimes are taking place.
If I properly understand in Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the spiritual master navigates his disciple to his Ekadash Bhava, 11 elements about his eternal relationship.
The disciple actually finds his own relationship. Not the spiritual master imposes it, but then the spiritual master can refer the disciple to the literature, specific literatures, or explain the literatures. But it's not the Ekadasa Bhava or the Siddha-deha, it's not coming from the spiritual master. It's not that the spiritual master says, hey, you're a gopi. Radharaja, you're a gopi.
I thought
I had a shepherd. And Sita, you're a coward boy. So, you know, it's not like that. It's that you'll go to the spiritual master, of course. I'm not saying you should go now, because you get in trouble if you go right now. So you'll go and say, you know, I have a specific attraction towards da-da-da. You know, Lalita, Vishaka, one of the Asasakis, specific Subal, Sridham. And then you'll talk about it, and it'll be confirmed. And you'll see that Jiva Dharma, that happens too. You'll see that someone reveals, you know, I forget the guru's name there, but someone reveals to the guru that I'm very attracted to the coward boy. You remember that part?
There's two.
You got Madhurya Ras and also Sakya Ras there. And someone says, and then the spiritual master deals with the person who has Madhurya Ras in a separate place. That's Jiva Dharma right there. He says, well, this is not appropriate for you, so we'll just talk about this. But it's the disciple who says that I'm having a specific attraction. You know, it's not that, you know, you can get a lot of disciples nowadays if you say, oh, you're a gopi, Radharaja, and I'll teach you your Ekadasa Bhava. You know, Ekadasa means the 11 aspects of the bhava, or the emotional relationship. But anyway, it happens at an advanced stage in devotional service. We're not proposing that all of you try to figure that out today. Tomorrow maybe, but not today. You know,
what? That happens after sadhaka finishing. Sadhana bhakti and...
Initiative. Really? Yeah. Your initiative begins, you get a glimmer of it.
During
the higher levels of nishtha, there's two parts of nishtha. One is when you're when you're studying sadhana, and the second part of Nishtha is when you're studying 24 hours a day. You know, 24 hours a day, you're studying. The first part is you just study in the morning program. Second part, you study everything. So when you're in the higher stages of Nishtha, you're getting the glimmer of who you are. I mean, of who you're attracted. It's not really who you are in the beginning. It's like, I mean, it has nothing to do with your material qualities. I mean, I was just speaking to one advanced devotee who actually is ready for sadhana, for Raghunuga Bhakti. And this advanced devotee said, you know, I'm attracted to serving Chandravali. He said, what am I going to do about it? And I said, it's not a problem. You know, because Chandravali is serving Srimati Radharani. You know, Radharani and Krishna enjoy more when there's anger than when there's meeting, which is really interesting. It's really interesting. When Radha and Krishna meet, there's enjoyment, but when Radha and Krishna are having a fight, there's even more enjoyment. Interesting, isn't it? So she said, it's not my nature. I wanted to be Radharani's assistant, and now I'm realizing I'm this and that. You know, a real, what do they call it? A schizophrenia there. But anyway, split personality. So it has nothing to do with our material nature. It's not that because, you know, I mean, I'll give you an example. It's not because I like to tell jokes a lot, therefore I must have a relationship with Madhu Mangal in the spiritual world. It has nothing to do with it. Is it, oh, Gurudev is associated with Madhu Mangal. You know, Madhu Mangal likes to tell jokes. So, anyway, that's a little advanced. But we can talk about that later. But Jiva Dharma goes into details about Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Jiva Dharma. And Harinam Chintamani to a certain extent, small extent. So anyway, so I don't know how we got on that. So that's a coming attraction for all of you. So let's read a little bit more. As already explained, Radha and Krishna are one and two. They're identical. Krishna expands himself as multi-incarnations in plenary portions like the Purushas. Similarly, Srimati Radharani expands herself in multi-forms as the goddesses of fortune, the queens and damsels of Braj. Such expansions from Srimati Radharani are her plenary portions. Let me see. The female reflections of Krishna's pleasure potency are as good as Krishna himself. It gets into a little technicality about Vaibhava Prakash and Vilas Prakash. Anyway, Vaibhava Vilas, I don't need to get into that here. Anyway, one other thing is actually, ontologically, it's interesting because people say you should become a Mandari, but the Sakis are actually ontologically considered higher than the Mandaris. Interesting, isn't it? It's interesting because you find these Gaudiya groups saying, everybody must be a Mandari, you're a Mandari, I'm a Mandari, and we're the highest. But you are whoever you are in the spiritual world, and that's the perfection and that's the best for you. You know, it's not. Nobody should be disturbed that they're a coward boy. I mean, I'd be happy I was some dust in Vrindavan. Like Uddhavaji, he prayed to become like the dust or creepers in Vrindavan, right? He didn't say, well, I got to be a gopi. He said, I want to be under the feet of the gopis so they step on me. She helps Lord Krishna taste the rasa dance and similar activities, being the central petal of the rasa lila flower. Of the four kinds of reciprocation of loving service, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya, madhurya is considered the fullest. But the conjugal relationship is further divided into two varieties, namely swakya and paragriha. Here's your cartel back. Swakya is the relationship with Krishna as formally married husband, and parakya is the relationship with Krishna as a paramour. So those who go to Braj simply attached to Vaidhi, or the rules and regulations, the Vidhi, they worship Radha and Krishna in the Swakya mood. And those who go to Braj in the Raghunuga mood, they worship Krishna in the Parakya. Anyway, in the material world, Parakya is the most abominable. Right? That means Parakya means a loving affair in which people are not married. Or as Prabhupada, I don't know if I should say this, but anyway, Prabhupada said, what do you call girlfriends in the West? We call prostitutes in India. It's heavy, isn't it? Because nowadays, even I find a lack of morality in many devotees. They don't get married. They just live with each other. And I ask them, why don't you get married? And they say, well, it'd be more difficult later on to get a divorce. You know, you have to go through all these legalities, pay the lawyer and all that other stuff. It's crazy, isn't it? It's the most abominable, the highest thing in the spiritual world is a relationship, unmarried relationship between Radha and Krishna. And the lowest thing in the material world is the unmarried relationship between man and woman, isn't it? That's the lowest thing. I mean, people think it's compatible with Krishna consciousness. I've even had one man, you know, was in love with a girl. He called, you're my Radha. You see this in Bollywood films all the time, isn't it? You're my Radha. And she says, and you're my Krishna. You ever see that in a Bollywood film?
He doesn't watch
me. He doesn't watch. I've seen Bollywood films. Expert analysts have decided that the transcendental ecstasy of the Parakya Mellow is better because it is more enthusiastic. This is interesting. Prabhupada is more enthusiastic. Why is it more enthusiastic? Because you're more enthusiastic. Krishna's more enthusiastic. I mean, imagine if you read about Krishna's pastimes. Of course, in Dwarka, it's like that. You know, Krishna goes home, meets with his wives, says, what's for dinner? Did you iron the clothes tonight? You know, it's just, it gets kind of boring after a while. Of course, the Dwarka pastimes aren't exactly boring, but it's not like, you know, Krishna and Radharani hiding out from Jatila and Gutila. It's the morning time, Krishna wakes up, Radharani wakes up, and they discover they have to run home, and they put on each other's clothes by accident. Radhe! They put on each other's clothes by accident, and so Krishna gets home, he goes into his bedroom before Mother Yashoda supposedly wakes him up, and Mother Yashoda says, why are you wearing that blue garment? Where'd you get that blue garment from? And it's actually Radharani's garment. And Krishna says something like, oh, it's my brother's, Balaram's garment. But actually, it's a lie. So that's much more interesting than, you know, going home at night after working in the Sudama assembly house. So this phase of conjugal love is found in those who have surrendered to the Lord in intense love. And that's like the Goswami said, what is the price? It's intense hankering, volume. Intense hankering. That's how you get to Braj. Knowing well that such illicit love with a paramour is not morally approved in society, the risks involved in such love of God had make this emotion superior to the relationship in which such risk is not involved. The validity of such risk, however, is possible only in the transcendental realm. Swakya and Parakya conjugal love of Godhead have no existence in the material world, and Parakya is not exhibited anywhere in Vaikuntha. In other words, you don't have Lord Narayan running around with other girls. There's an interesting story. One time Lord Narayan came to the Earth planet, and previously Maya Sita wanted to marry Lord Ram. You know that story? Anyone know this story? So when Lord Ram appeared, Maya Sita was substituted for the real Sita. You know that. And so Maya Sita fell in love with Lord Ram. And Lord Ram said, I can't marry you because I promised only to marry one wife, Ekapatni Vrata. And so then he said, in the next incarnation, I will marry you. So Lord Ram, in the next incarnation, is Lord Vishnu, comes down to the Earth planet. No one's heard this story? Some of you have heard it. He comes down to the Earth planet. Why does he come down to the Earth planet? Because Lakshmi has left him. Why did Lakshmi leave him? Because she was angry with him. Because he allowed Brigamuni to kick him in the chest. And he didn't do anything about it. So he comes down to the Earth planet looking for Lakshmi. And then he encounters Mayasita, who is actually Bhudevi. Bhudevi, Mayasita, I think you can relate to that. And then he falls in love with her, but he comes down, he's a poor man because he doesn't have Lakshmi anymore. He's not a Kropati. He's a Nopati. So therefore he has to borrow money to get married. And he borrows money from Kuvera, the demigod, you know, the treasurer of the demigods. And so he takes out a loan. And then so what happens is that after he gets married, then the real Lakshmi shows up. And he says, oh my God, what happened? And then she starts to get angry with him for getting married to someone else. And in order to get away from her, he turns into a deity. And then she laments, and Bhudevi laments, and they both become deities. And that, of course, is the origin of which deities?
Balaji.
Balaji and Tirumala. So that's the one time that the Lord did a little bit of a parakeet. Not parakeet, he got married, actually. He became a polygamist. Interesting story, isn't it? So, some devotees think that Krishna is eternally the enjoyer in Goloka Vrindavan, but only sometimes comes to the platform of Braj to enjoy Parakeya Ras. In other words, they say that, well, in the spiritual world, he just gets married to Radharani, but comes down here, then he does his stuff, you know, the Parakeya Ras. But actually, Prabhupada explains, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, however, explain that Krishna's pastimes in Braj are eternal, like his other activities in Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna exhibited his Braj pastimes on the surface of this world, and similar pastimes are eternally exhibited in Braj and Goloka Vrindavan, where Parakeya Ras is ever existent. So even in the spiritual world, there's Parakeya Ras. In the third chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explicitly accepted the fact that Krishna appears in the material world. Anyway, we'll skip over this part. The transcendental mela relished by the gopis in Braj is super excellently featured in Srimati Radharani. Mature assimilation of transcendental humor of conjugal love is represented by Srimati Radharani, whose feelings are incomprehensible even to the Lord himself. In other words, Krishna can't understand Radharani's love. That's why he appears as who? What? No, that's the children. What does Krishna do to try to understand Radharani's love? He comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The intensity of her loving service is the highest form of ecstasy. No one can surpass Srimati Radharani in relishing the transcendental mellow qualities of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord himself agreed to assume the position of Radharani in the form of Lord Gauranga. He then relished the highest position of Parakeya Ras as exhibited by the transcendental in the transcendental abode of Braj. The loving affairs of Radharani and Krishna are transcendentally manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The devotees who are imbued with all love and who walk in the footsteps of the spiritual maids of Braj alone attain to the realm of Goloka. In other words, only those who follow in the footsteps of the eternal residents of Braj, specifically the gopis, attain to Goloka. The different locations of the devotees in Goloka, according to their respective differences in the nature of Ras, are settled by the inconceivable power of Krishna. The pure devotees following the devotees of Braj and those following the pure devotees of Navadvip are located in the realm of Krishna and Gaura, respectively. That means in the spiritual world, there's a Navadvip, Mayapur, and there's also Goloka, Vrindavan. So the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in both places simultaneously here. The identical devotees of Braj and Navadvip simultaneously attain to the pleasure of service in the realm of Krishna and Gaura. Srila Jiva Goswami writes in his work Gopal Champu that the supreme transcendental realm is called Goloka, being the abode of transcendental cows and transcendental coward boys. This is the seat of the Ras pastimes of the absolute Sri Krishna. Again, the realm is called Swetadvip owing to the realization of some of the rasas, which are inconceivable manifestations derived from the untouched purity of that supreme realm. This is actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's words. The twofold entities of the supreme Goloka and the supreme Svetadvipa are indivisibly the realm of Goloka. That's, of course, Krishna and Radha. The gist of the whole matter is this: Goloka as Svetadvipa is eternally manifest because the pleasures of enjoyment of the ras could not be had in its entirety in the pastimes of Krishna and Braj. He accepts the emotion and effulgence of his predominated moyati, Sri Radhika. I know that's a hard word to understand. And makes an eternal pastime for the enjoyment of Krishna Ras there. Sri Krishna Chandra, coveting, that means he wants to taste the following pleasure: the nature of the greatness of love of Sri Radha, the nature of the wonderful sweetness of his love, which Sri Radhika has got the taste, and three, the nature of the exquisite happiness or joy that accrues, or Radharani experiences, by her realization of the sweetness of his love, took his birth like the moon in the ocean of the womb of Sri Sachidevi. That's referring to Lord Chaitanya. That's from the Brahma Samhita, text 5, purport. So today we are very fortunate to be in Ravo, which is Srimati Radharani's appearance day, appearance place. And today is Ekadasi, a very special day for worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, any questions or comments? And then we can take time for chanting and taking pictures around here before we go back. Questions, comments? No. Yeah.
What is the difference between Audarya, which exhibits Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mayapur and internally in spiritual world, and Madhurya?
Well, Madhurya means sweet. Audarya means munificent. So, in order to take... There's actually no difference, but in order to taste the Madhurya, you have to experience the Audarya. Without the munificence or mercy, you know, just for those who don't have English as their first language, without the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the unlimited mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll never be able to taste the sweetness. And the reason Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful is that he is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. When Krishna is in his own mood, he's merciful, but not that merciful. Like Krishna says, you know, you got certain conditions. Sarva dharmam prachaja mamikam sharanam braja. There's a condition, surrender. That's it, you know, surrender. And if you don't surrender, too bad, you get your head cut off. You know, Krishna was pretty heavy about that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's described, the Panchatattva opened the storehouse of love of God, and even when they saw that there was no one who wanted to pay the price, they distributed it freely. Even you have that story, who was that devotee? I think it was Mukunda, who went to the Qazi. Mukunda Dad, I think. He went to the Qazi. The Qazi was against the chanting. This wasn't the same story of Lord Chaitanya going to the Qazi. This is a different Qazi. He went to the Qazi and he said, chant Hare Krishna. He went in the middle of the night, you know, woke the poor Qazi up. You know, he's a Muslim, you know, big beer and everything like that. Woke him up. Bad mood. He said, chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. And the Qazi said, tomorrow I will chant Hare Krishna. And then Mukunda said, you've already done it. He said, hey, go. So that's how merciful Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. And in Kali Yuga, without that mercy, we can't experience the Madhurya. And what does that mean exactly? Preaching Krishna consciousness. I mean, in general, if one simply tries to understand Madhurya without preaching, he will not be able to. He won't get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Because you need that, Audarya. You need to approach Krishna through Lord Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya. Also, the Goswamis explain, that first we approach Lord Nityananda, of course, the spiritual master. Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master. And then, by doing that, we become free from our anarthas. And then after that, we can approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to the ecstatic platform. And then after that, we approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan to understand the conjugal love of God and Krishna. Okay. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimati Radha.